The pastor of a local evangelical church came in and he has 14,000 members. It's the mega church of the city. And when he found out you were buying it, he said, I'll pay you more than he can. I didn't know the station was for sale. I will buy it. And they said, well, if he doesn't pay by tomorrow, it's yours. That's a lot of pressure. Lord, I said, that's not my problem. You promised, you sent me there, now you provide. Well, David, the least you could do is talk to your board, you know, to pray. Well, that's true. I could call my board member. I'm not going to ask anybody. You know, I've never raised any money. No, that's true. That's not your responsibility. But praying is your responsibility. So call your board members and pray. I called my board members. And my dad said, well, David, a $50,000 just came in. That's a far cry from $150,000. And one of my board members, a board secretary, said, well, David, we have a house and a property up on the mountain. I could probably take out a mortgage on it. My wife and I talked about it already. You didn't tell us this, the Holy Spirit impressed us, but we're willing to put $100,000. The money got there 2 hours before the deadline. The next $150,000, they called and said, you know it's due today? I said, yes, I know. Well, if you don't pay today, it's gone to somebody else. I said, can you give me 2 more hours? Sure. I made 2 phone calls, $150,000. I just called somebody who promised to give. I said, have you promised to make a donation, but no, I haven't sold my business yet. He said, God can give me health. You keep it, David. Keep the $150,000. He's still living in his own house. He hasn't needed to go to the nursing home. God gives health, isn't it? He just said, God will take care of me. And he gave his last. He's almost 90 years old. He gave $150,000. He said, I'll loan it to you. Then he later said, keep it. The third time $150,000 came due, God gave it 24 hours ahead. And now, the last $500,000 are due, and it hasn't showed up for months. But they don't want to change buyers. No, we want to stick with you. We like your programming. It's on the air. We like it. I said, Lord, why are you making us wait? Again, you always paid for the other. Yeah, but if I hadn't paid before, you'd have lost it. Now I don't have to pay because you won't lose it anyhow. Boy, they're sure sweating blood, though, and I'm sweating. I said, finally, Lord, give me peace. I just trust you. You know what you're doing. You're doing something bigger than before. You know what happened with Bolivia? For a whole year, we weren't able to pay until God made it. You know what really happened? You know what I believe is a major impact of that? Around that issue, they divided two groups of people. Among my friends, so I'll just pick to my friends because I know my friends told me this. I think it did. I think it was worldwide, actually. I thought everybody who heard about it divided into two groups. There was one group that said to me, that was criminal what you did. Signing a document without any money? That's irresponsibility. You ought to go to jail for that. You're going to go bankrupt, I guarantee it. That was one group. Then there was another group. David, that is the most beautiful thing we've ever heard. The fact that you would trust God with that opportunity and the fact that you got on the air and you're reaching 100 million people. Don't worry, David. God will pay. Just hang in there. Everybody polarized, and I had two groups of friends. Those that really weren't that friends and those that were really supportive friends. And you know what? I wonder what happened the day the money came in. 24 hours before we lost the network, $1.5 million to pay in cash. How do you deal with that? Well, the friends on this side, they said, David, don't give up. God will do. Guess what? Yes, yes, yes. Their faith was strengthened. How did the friends on this side deal with it? Lord, where did I go wrong? I've always worked that way. Do you really work that way? Is that something you do? Do you expect us to take that much risk, Lord? Come on, this is outside of our comfort. Exactly. God wants to take us way beyond what we're comfortable with. If it's not impossible, probably it doesn't come from God. It's funny, but it's true. God is not doing things so people can be honored today. God wants to take his people to cross the River Jordan. It's time to cross. Now is the time. You know the 1888 message? You have an 1888 message committee building or tidings, something I saw today over there. I'm not an expert on the 1888 message. But you know what? The world was ripe for the harvest in 1888. Look at your hymnal. Open it up and see how many hymns were written in the late 1800s. All the famous Baptist ministers, Methodist ministers, there was a sweeping preparation. The world was ripe for the harvest. And after God's people refused to put on the white gown of righteousness, Sister White says, we're going to have to be in this world a lot longer before the world is ready again. We went through First World War. They developed the Gatling gun. You could kill more people at once. Great, huh? Wonderful. all the death and the gas and all the people who died in the mud, all the hell of First World War. But guess what? We perfected it. We got into the Second World War. And now we can kill people, not only with machine guns and bombs, we can eradicate entire cities at one time.